From the Land de Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of June, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net. And a bit later in the program, Mike Tenner will join us to discuss the agricultural weather forecast, the heat across the Corn Belt, how long it will last, and some indications for cooling off from time to time as well. And along the way, we'll check in with Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger to see what he has to say about nitrogen applications in this hot, dry weather, all on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn for the day settled at $7.88 and a quarter. It was up 14 and a quarter. December at 7.35. The new crop 14 higher as well. July soybeans up 15 and three quarters. Settlement price there at $17.09 a bushel. New crop November up 19 and three quarters of a cent to settle at $15.43 and a quarter. Bean meal up $12.20 and the bean oil for the day $1.33 lower. Wheat futures July contract the harvest month up 28 and a quarter cents. $10.78 and a quarter for the soft red, the hard red at $11.48 and a quarter, up 15 and a quarter cents. Live cattle futures at $136.30, down 50 cents. Feeders were off $1.97 and a half at $171.30, and lean hogs for the day $106.02 and a half, up $1.70 for the afternoon. Crude oil at $117.61 a barrel, up $2.30. Diesel fuel or heating oil just about unchanged at $4.48 and 8 tenths of a cent, and gasoline at $3.84 and 3 tenths of a cent. That's the wholesale price, up 7 and 4 tenths of a cent for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average just under 30,000 at 29,834 is down 815 points. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net now joins us. Matt, thank you for being with us. It appears you're in the target area for being the driest and maybe one of the warmest in the state today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's dry. I mean, there's no two ways about it. So we've missed several of these rains over the last couple of weeks. Last week we were sure hoping, you know, we had three shots, 70-80% chances of rain, you know, and we didn't get any of it. So a little bit aggravating, especially going into the heat this week. Corn's been rolling pretty good in the heat of the day. You know, to be honest with you, the corn looks great, you know, before we start seeing any of the rolling. Good color to it. I think we've still got phenomenal yield potential if we could get Mother Nature to cooperate. But at this stage of the game, you know, we've gotten excessively dry. There's a few cracks out in the field in the ground. So, you know, we're going to be hitting crunch time here on some of this corn here pretty soon. Some of the earliest planted corn that we've got, you know, is already about shoulder high on me. So, you know, we're not too awful far away from talking about some tassels showing up.
What did the market think of yesterday's Federal Reserve 0.75 point raise? I know it was expecting it. How did it react?
Well, you know, I mean, our markets, are trading something a little bit differently maybe. And maybe there's some safe haven money coming over. There's, you know, the Dow getting worked over. I mean, we went under 30,000 there earlier today. That'd been something that people were hoping would not happen. Obviously, while we didn't see beans race higher, you know, we saw prices up 15, 20 cents. So obviously, there was times whenever the buyers were awfully active. Corn, I think, is where we saw really as much activity as whenever you're talking the two. Now, wheat also had solid activity as well. So I got to think that maybe there's a little bit of safe haven type searching as far as some of these big money flow plays are going. But for the most part, I think they're looking pretty closely at weather as well.
Yeah, so simply looking at weather, how much more can they build into this marketplace as it relates to weather? Of course, we have the war built in. We have some weather out of South America built in. It just seems like there's an awful lot put into the price of corn, soybeans, and wheat already.
There is, Todd, but, you know, at the same time, I mean, you're looking at a 1.4 carryout if you have 89.5 planted with a 177 yield. So you got to ask yourself, you know, it's getting awfully dry. Some of these forecasts are for pretty much the entirety of the I states to be dry over the next month. And so if that's the case and we are above normal temps, which those same forecasts are calling for, you know, you're looking at the potential the national yield could be cut fairly significantly from the 177 you're currently projecting. With all things considered, Todd, you know, on this mark pretty quickly. So we've been telling people, if you're concerned about having too many sales on the books, I certainly understand that mindset. But, you know, August short dated calls are still, you know, fairly reasonable. This week, earlier in the week, you know, we were buying 750s and 8s. They were pretty cheap. Not so cheap as we talk right now, you know, because the market's starting to get amped up a little bit. But it certainly goes to 8 and turns around and goes back the other way, Todd. I've got to think that most of us are going to have a decent shot of having raised a crop. But, you know, if you do have some sort of a drought-type scenario that persists, 8's not going to stop it. And so if you would go to a $9 or a $10 type, crazy type price like a lot of us have only dreamed about before, it's possible this year, you probably ought to be participating in a portion of that if you've got too many sales on the books.
And if you don't have sales on the books?
Well, congratulations, I guess, would be the first thing to say. So, you know, most producers that haven't done much yet certainly have a reason for doing so. Now, you get into the market like this, and I think we're all a little bit concerned. You think back to 2012, and a lot of folks got oversold. It wasn't a fun place to reside. But at the same time, you know, this year's a different year. We all know that. So I guess there's no guarantees that if we have a crop failure in your part of the world, my part of the world, that the market's going to rally. I mean, we could be the dry hole, as you suggested earlier, or you could see a massive macro sell-off across all markets and maybe no safe haven for commodities. Now, I certainly hope that isn't the case, but at this stage of the game, a deflationary move is certainly within the realm of possibilities.
What else are you watching in the marketplace these days?
Yeah, I'm watching several different things, but it's been interesting to see how this crude oil market has acted. No question about it. You know, looking at the dollar today earlier on, and it's certainly seeing the dollar back off. You know, we were over 105 there yesterday. You see the dollar back off, it makes you feel just a little bit better about commodities staying, hanging right in there. You know, to some new highs with the dollar, then there's no question that you start talking about, I guess, the market being susceptible to a major type sell-off, especially if you get a weather pattern shift. But watching the weather very closely, you know, Eric Snodgrass sent me a message earlier this morning and said, this is only 7 years since 1893 that our region has been drier. And so obviously and that's in the first part of June. So basically the first half of June. So, you know, it certainly doesn't look like we've got any relief around the corner. Got a little chance for rain tonight, but most of the forecasts concern me. So if we don't get back in that northwesterly flow pattern and see the ridge move to the west, I'm very concerned about what your yield potential might be, you know, here 3-4 weeks from now.
It's interesting that Eric sent you a message this morning. He sent me one as well because a listener had asked if he could find some good news. That will be tomorrow. Apparently not yet. Yeah. Maybe by tomorrow we'll have something from him.
Well, absolutely. You know, he sent me that through Twitter, you know, and I just sent him a message back, and I said, I refuse to like your tweet. So I just told him I'm not going along with this nonsense. But, you know, people keep asking me whenever I look at the maps what I'm thinking about, and I just said, I just keep looking till I find a forecaster that gives me a map that I like. But it's kind of getting harder and harder to do every day.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Matt Bennett. He is with agmarket.net. University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by U of I Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger to talk a bit about nitrogen applications that are taking place across the state, across the country at this time on corn. Emerson, thank you so very much for joining us. There's a lot of questions happening right now about volatility, the heat, the dryness, and what the weather impact is on putting nitrogen in place. Can you tell me a little bit about what this means and maybe your concerns?
Yeah, it's a little bit unusual to have us dry weather, at least like we're having in much of Illinois over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks in some cases. And I think dry weather in June is a pretty positive thing, but when it stretches on and on in ways that we haven't really seen before, then we start to get a little concerned. one of the positives is that the nitrogen that was put on earlier, and most people have most of their nitrogen on at this point, is certainly had not any opportunity to go anywhere. As far as I know, we have almost no standing water in the state. And, you know, so that nitrogen is pretty safe. And our ideas about, well, should we come back and put some more on based on how the crop looks, generally that answer has to be no this year. The roots are getting into the soil in most places better than, you know, we maybe imagine when it's 98 degrees in the afternoon. So that's a positive as well. If it's going to be dry during the season, this is a much better time than the middle of July would be to get hot and dry. Nitrogen is a concern partly because roots have to get to the nitrogen for it to do the crop any good, and we're just entering with most of this crop now the period of rapid uptake. It really has to be close to the roots to keep this crop taking up nitrogen. Canopy color looks pretty good. You know, it would probably be a little better with a little bit better soil moisture, and that's just from the way the crop grows. But those that are still putting some on or have put some on recently are asking things like, you know, should we put it on the soil surface? Should we inject it instead? There's no a real clear answer to this, but if, as projected, we have a period of another go to the end of June now with very little rainfall, the nitrogen that is put on top, and even that is injected between the rows, it's not going to move downwards to the roots. It's certainly not going to move downwards very fast. Putting it near the row has the advantage, or dribbling it on the surface near the row has the advantage of having the nitrogen closer to the roots. But that doesn't mean that it's going to get down there. I mean, it will literally sit there. And some people say, well, the dew will come down off the plant and help move it in. There will be a little bit of that. But a concern whenever we lay a urea-based fertilizer on the soil surface, when the weather is very warm and dry, when it doesn't get carried into the soil with rainfall and isn't incorporated otherwise, that means that it is subject to volatilization. That's the breakdown of urea with the release of ammonia back into the air. It's certainly not something we want to see with expensive nitrogen that we put out there. Just as importantly is the fact that if it's not getting to the crop, it's not doing it the good that it's supposed to be doing. There are instances where people put on, you know, most of their nitrogen early, say 170, 190 pounds, somewhere in that vicinity, and we're thinking to come back with some additional. And this might be the time, given the fact that the nitrogen that's been put into the soil and put in by mineralization is still there, this might be a time to consider maybe the crop doesn't need any more nitrogen. I can't quite imagine in my head if we put on that 170 plus or minus pounds already, especially in prairie soils, that the crop is going to fully see that nitrogen and it's going to have it when it needs it. If we get some rainfall is going to be important to just keep the crop growing, keep the roots expanding, and get it out there into the soil where it can take up the nitrogen that's there. So one option would be, if we're going to dribble it on the surface now and we have put, you know, we've kept half of the nitrogen for the crop back to this point in time, it is possible to use a urease inhibitor, Instinct. There are some others on the market that you can put with UAN, and that will lower the rate of volatilization. In other words, it keeps urea as urea a little bit longer. It's not perfect. The inhibitors themselves break down, and high temperatures will help them break down. We'd really, really hope that after it's been dribbled on the surface, that within four or five days, a week at the most, that we get some rainfall. It only takes a quarter to half an inch to move it into the soil, which will protect it then from volatilization. Another option could be to change from dribbling near the row with wide drop type apparatus to injecting it. Now that certainly makes it safe from volatilization, but it also takes it farther away from where the roots are in the soil. If we're going to get some rainfall, you know, that I would be pretty comfortable injecting UAN between the rows, or even injecting anhydrous ammonia between the rows, that the crop is going to, you know, at some point come around with additional soil moisture, and we should be in good shape to take that nitrogen up. We do have the assurance this year with limited moisture that we've gotten that the nitrogen that we've put on is staying there, and that gives us the opportunity to at least think about if we want to even put more on. And that's you know, we can give some thought to that if we've put plenty of nitrogen on, and we're planning to come back with putting an additional amount just to, you know, help the crop take up the maximum amount we can get it to take up. This might be one of those times when we can hold off on doing that. I don't think we're going to see the crop suffer from nitrogen deficiency if we've gotten a pretty decent amount of nitrogen already on it. Volatilization of urea from urea-based products, including UAN, is a concern only when the urea lies on the surface. And so dribbling it near the row does expose it to that. These inhibitors break down with as they lie there in high temperatures as well. So there's no guarantees with this. So the biggest concern we would have is if it just goes 10 days, 2 weeks without any rainfall. And not only does that mean that the nitrogen could volatilize, it also means that the plant is not really getting that nitrogen. So it turns out to be sort of like a late application. One of the possibilities, besides adding urease inhibitor into a dribble application, would be to change instead to an injection between the rows. That could be UAN, it could be anhydrous ammonia. Although it's getting late to put anhydrous on, it would still be a possibility, and it certainly will stay where it's put. And so those are options that we would have. We would still have the concern, is there going to be enough water to keep the plant going to get the roots out into that zone of nitrogen? But I think if we're going to get rainfall to make our crop prospects or keep them high, that we're not going to be too concerned about the roots reaching nitrogen, sort of no matter where we put it in the soil.
Yeah, it's Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. He did mention after we had our discussion that while injecting the in between the rows would work, that given the lack of rainfall, he might offset that by about 6 inches so that it is closer to the row. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mike Tenuri. He's at T-Storm Weather. That's at tstorm.net online. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us. We've had a lot of heat this week. Expect some more days of it, though I think a cool down is coming somewhere in the middle of this. Can you tell me what your assessment is?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of changes that are taking place. If you're in Illinois, Indiana, or Ohio, you'll see a pretty nice weekend coming up with temperatures cooling. But if you're off to the west, in Nebraska, Kansas, the Dakotas, Missouri, even Iowa, it will turn very hot this weekend with highs in the 90s and even the 100s. So a very sharp temperature gradient is going to develop across the Corn Belt. And that's kind of what we're dealing with over the next 10 days, maybe even the next 14 days. We'll see these puffs of heat develop across the Corn Belt, but they'll be followed by some nice cool-offs. Even look at today, hot across Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. But if you go off to the northwest, it's nice and pretty pleasant out there with 70s and 80s expected. So we're just in this topsy-turvy pattern, and that's not going to break real soon.
Does rainfall come along with the topsy-turvy, or do we stay dry?
Well, we're not going to see a lot of rain with this setup, more than likely, and there's a couple of reasons. Number one is that we have upper-level high pressure in place across the central U.S. That's going to block storm systems from moving eastward. And so because of that, it just takes away your rain chances because you don't have as many opportunities for something to happen. The other reason is that we have surface level high pressure that's moving and passing off to the east. That comes along with those little cool spells we talk about. Well, when those cool spells happen, they bring dry air with them, and dry air is not conducive to rainfall. You need muggy air. And so the combination of having an upper level high nearby and dry air nearby, so there will be some storms here and there in these transitions that are coming up, but we're not looking for heavy rainfall. Some of the better chances will be over the next 24 hours, pretty much to the south of Champaign-Urbana, and then in the southern parts of the state and into the mid-south. And then once we get into the middle of next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that's when we'll see a cool front move through more than likely, and that should produce a few more storms.
Do things change as we enter the end of the month and the beginning of July?
Well, that's the billion-dollar question. If we start to see this pattern really take hold and we don't see a lot of rain all the way through the end of the month, and then we're going into July and it looks like the same setup, well, that's a problem, because even though we've had some nice rains to this point in the growing season, we can't go 2, 3, 4 weeks without much rain and also have temperatures end up being warmer than normal and then expect to just have a great crop. The interesting thing about where we stand today is that if we end up getting 1.5 inches of rain through the end of the month across the 7-state Corn Belt, it will still end up being one of the 10 driest since 1960. And in fact, if we get just a little bit less than that, say 1.25 inches of rain across the region, we'd end up being number 3 driest, with only 1988 and 2012 having been drier in the month of June. But keep in mind, those years will likely have been much drier. And there were several years going back in time that will end up being fairly close to this one. So even though we end up around number 3 driest, there were about 5 other years that were around number three driest. And some of those had good crops and some of them had poor ones, but it's not a sure tell sign that a problem is developing.
Anything else before I let you go?
Just that I would point out that the type of La Nina that we have in place at the moment, there's not been problematic corn and soybean years associated with this setup. It's most similar to the transitions that we saw in 1985, 1996, and in 2000. And all those were average to above average crop years. So if history is going to repeat here, we're not going to have a big problem come later on in July and August, even though admittedly, the forecast doesn't look all that promising at the moment. But that's just what the history tells us. And Todd, these are the kinds of things that we talk about in our reports with our clients every day, and the type of stuff that they're pretty well used to hearing about on a daily basis, which helps them to assess their risk going forward.
Well, I appreciate you talking about it with us as well. Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, great being here. We'll talk next week and see what happens.
Indeed we will. That is Mike Tenner at T-Storm Weather at tstorm.net online if you'd like to learn more from him. Thanks for joining us too here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find our daily agricultural programming, and later this afternoon, our Commodity Week program. You can just click and play from the website or hit the podcast link there on the website, and you can subscribe to the Closing Market Report Commodity Week or the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. There's a way to do that on each of the players under the podcast tab. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.